completing a task to getting that fixed.
I don't know why that's recording so low over here.
And Overlays Woods Lumber. If you have garden equipment for lumber glass, call 918-336.
I'm Garrett Giles, your host, and joining us, as mentioned, is the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. Larry, how are you doing this morning?
I'm wearing my aqua lung.
Aqualung, ooh. That sounds very fancy.
As we attempt landscape installation. Boy, don't you love the weather?
Oh, yeah, it's been a mess all week, hasn't it?
Oh, yes, but it'll clear up someday, and then we'll have some nice weather for about 5 minutes, and it'll get hot.
Yeah, it's humid, probably, more than likely. Of course, there's some sunshine in the forecast for tomorrow, so that'll make for some happy people. Now I know I'll be happy, at least. But what about you? Will you be happy with the sunshine?
Yeah, it'll dry out a little bit. That'll be nice.
Yes.
Anyway, at the nursery, we've got memorial pots for sale right now. Lots and lots of color. We have some with some of the new crinkly petunias in them, which are really very attractive. Kind of a two-color petunia that's really quite showy. The hardy hibiscus, which actually the hardy hibiscus is native to wet, swampy areas. For some odd reason, it's doing rather well at this point. So anyway, they're starting to grow up. They will be making a really big chew pretty soon. So anyway, so the hardy hibiscus is coming on. We have strawberries on sale. Got all kinds of happy frog planting mix, and I got the bobcat fixed. So you can get bulk mulch at this point. We had an issue with the machine.
And when did you get it fixed? Like how recently? Just a couple days ago?
Yeah, a couple days ago. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's funny when you run a business. You learn accounting, you learn mechanics, you learn electronics, all this stuff to keep the thing running. And everybody's so happy now. The nursery is just, everybody's real happy the bobcat works. Yes.
What were you doing in the meantime before that? You just like carrying the mulch yourself?
Well, not a lot went on really. But anyway, it's working. So anyway, bulk mulch is a good way to help control weeds in your lawn, or just mulching period is a good way to do it. And don't skimp. Get about 2 inches of mulch on your planter beds. They look nice and help keep the weeds under control. Help conserve water. This rain's going to quit one of these days, and we want to try to save what we can. And it does help maintain a constant temperature, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if anything, it looks nice.
Right.
So anyway, we have herbs at the nursery. They're doing really quite well. Nothing like freshly grown herbs out of the backyard.
Herbs and strawberries.
Herbs and strawberries. And we have color pots. Color pots are these kind of container pots with different plants in them that exhibit color. They're annuals primarily that exhibit color pretty much all summer long. And then some pansies or something in the fall perhaps. But anyway, color pots are very popular. And we have lots of hanging baskets too. And one plant that's doing really quite well are the sun patients.
Okay.
They're really enjoying this weather, as are the begonias. They really like this stuff. Plenty of moisture and so on. So anyway, those are exhibiting a lot of color right now, too.
A lot of moisture with no end in sight for now, but we shall see.
it's going to end. Well, there's a big high-pressure system over the southeastern United States. Atlanta, there. I mean, it's a dust bowl over there. It's really dry. Typically, they have a lot of rain basically all the time. And they're in kind of a drought situation over there.
Maybe we could take some of the water down in Tulsa and move it over there. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah. Put it in my bobcat bucket and drive it. All the water.
The bobcat is fixed.
It's off to Atlanta at 5 miles an hour.
Hey, make for a cool trip, long trip.
It would be, yeah. But anyway, so they are having a bit of an issue there. And it's all because of a big high pressure over Alabama and Georgia and all that. The air is circulating clockwise, pulling the Gulf air up, and then the fronts are coming through, and they're meeting just right here, a little bit north of here. And that's the main reason why they're having to open up the locks in the dam a bit.
Yeah.
Permit some of the water through, just so we don't have a break in the dam. We can understand that. So, anyway.
They've been open all week.
So, what's going to happen with all this rain? Golly. some of your plants, as it warms up and when it gets hot again, they're going to suffer a little bit from the symptom known as root rot. Okay, Larry, here you go again, talking about root rot, yeah. And this is a prevalent when we have weather conditions like this where it's just constantly, constantly wet. The soil gets somewhat anaerobic. Remember what we talked about in the past, prepare the soil, make sure it drains. And if those conditions do not exist, you're going to have a situation known as root rot. So, and what's going to happen is the plants are going to look really good, it's going to get hot, they're going to grow like crazy, then all of a sudden they'll wilt and they just die all of a sudden. That's because the root system has collapsed and can no longer support the top of the plant. And water is not being transmitted from the bottom to the top. And it basically is just like cutting it off the ground and it just dies like that. So in some areas, we're going to have some problem with some root rot here.
How should people be preparing now?
Check the soil around your plant, loosen it up, if you will, get a tater fork or something, loosen up the soil a little bit, just so it can breathe somewhat. You might integrate some compost in with the soil or something to lighten the soil up a little bit, so it will have a chance to dry out between the rains.
And it's not too late to do that. You can prepare
it at all.
Okay.
And make sure when you do your planting, make sure the water has a way to get out. Let me get that idea of the plant in a situation where the water just kind of sits. I run into this all the time. Why did my landscape fail? Well, it failed because it's growing basically in a teacup. The water can't get out. You need to have it drain away from the landscape.
Okay.
So,
how do you properly drain that again? Just soil preparation?
Yeah, soil prep and put a slope. The house, actually the floor of your house should be the high point on the property. And everything should drain away from that. And if that's not the case, then you've got some serious problems. And I've encountered this in several people's houses where the house is not at the proper elevation and water, you know, just sits around it. You've got the alligators and mosquitoes and cattails growing all around the house because the slope was not properly addressed on the house when it was built. And you have to have a certain amount of slope to carry the water away, not only carry the water, but the degree associated with the water has to have enough speed with which you can carry that debris away also. So that's a problem I encounter all the time. And you put in a drainage structure, that helps a little bit. It doesn't solve all the problems.
How expensive is it to put in a drainage structure, or what's the process like for that?
Well, that can be in the form of, say, a French drain, which is basically a gravel pit with a pipe in it. And for that to work, you have to have a slope going away from the house, enough slope for the pipe to surface to the atmosphere. And that pipe should be no less than 2% slope. So if you put a pipe a foot deep into the ground and you go out that way, you need a couple of hundred feet to carry the water away for the surface at 2%. So you've got to have some place for the water to go. If you don't have the water to go, you need to put some energy in the equation, and that is in the form of a pump. And a sump pump. They're not that expensive. Really, they're not. You put it in a vessel into the ground, sump pump container, some kind, with access to the top. And they have little floats on them and all that. And when the water comes up, it turns on the pump and pumps the water out. So on. We've done several of these in town with the pumps, and they've been very successful.
Okay.
So, but the important thing is, you just simply can't put a French drain up next to the house without the French drain being below the level of the floor of the house or the heat registers in the house. It has to be below that pump. It can't be above that pump because the water can still get through the French drain. So you have to have it below your goal elevation of your water around the house.
All right.
So yeah. There's some rules to follow. There's a bit of engineering involved with it, but primarily you do want it to be gravity powered rather than pump powered, but that's not always the case.
All right, and you're listening to the Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. It's 8:18. Larry Glass is joining me, Garrett Giles, your host for Green Country Gardener. I think we'll go ahead and take a quick break. If you have any questions for Larry Glass, the number to call is 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, that's 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. If you have any questions for Larry Glass about gardening on the Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. We'll be right back after this. Are your hours shifting for Memorial Day by chance, or are you going to be open regular hours?
We're open until 3 o'clock.
Okay. Okay. That's.
I think it's like 12 to 3, I don't know.
Okay. I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit more or not.
No.
If you have like, any, do you have any Memorial Day specials by chance, or no?
No.
Okay.
I'm really, with everything going on, I'm more connected to landscape really than a hope for retail.
Yeah.
So, trying to keep everything running and landscape going is a big job. Mm-hmm. And Gary does the primary and the retail stuff, so.
Okay. Gary. Gary sounds like a nice guy.
He is. He works very hard. Yeah. So, he does a good job.
Has the rain kind of put a damper in your landscaping lately? I'm assuming it's a little bit.
It has, quite a bit, yeah. Because the landscaping can be, we need a surface to work where we can shovel stuff. You know?
It's not like...
And it just makes a big mess.
Right. It's not terribly saturated or whatever.
We planted a tree at somebody's house and we had to, emergency alert, flash flood warning. We had to, actually, when we were planting a tree, we had to bring a hand pump to pump the water out of the hole. To get the tree in the ground and get the elevation set properly, you know, the soil mixed properly. And then it just kept going in. And the tree wasn't on a low area, it was on a high area.
Do you want to kind of talk about that a little bit? Now, I know you do landscaping or whatever. Is there something else you want to talk about first?
We can talk about it. Let's go ahead and talk about people's, we'll continue on retail and stuff. Well, we talked about that, so. I don't know, how about fruit trees?
Fruit trees, okay. And you're listening to the Green Country Gardener here on this Saturday morning, just about 8:21. Larry Glass is joining me in the studio, the man with the emerald thumb. If you have any questions for that man with the emerald thumb over here right next to me with the microphone, keeping us up to date with a flash flood warning, I think. I can't really tell what county it's in, but if you have any questions for him about gardening on this Saturday morning, the number to call is 918-336-1400. You can also call the toll-free number at 1-800-749-5936. Run down to those numbers one more time, 918-336-1400. Or 1-800-749-5936. We'd love to hear from you this morning and answer all your gardening questions that you have for Larry Glass.
Huh. Yeah, I keep getting this severe alerts here. And,
I got a Wall Street Journal update. I haven't gotten any weather updates, though, yet.
Looks like we one of our employees registered 1.4 inches last night on a gauge. Yep, that's what the textbook about. Anyway, so, golly, what should we do with my fruit trees now? You want to avoid systemic insecticides at this point? Perhaps some fungicides. I know my fruit trees, before I left for the radio show, I said, oh, I got some cherries ripening. How nice, but some of them had this mold on them.
Mm, that doesn't sound good at all.
And I've been warned that I will be in big trouble if I don't get any cherries on my cherry trees this year.
Who's warning you? I think I have an idea, but
yeah. But so I'll have to make sure that that sometime, perhaps at lunch today, I'm going to put some dish soap on them or something to help stop this fungus. I want to use something fairly safe. Neem oil would probably be a good one too. They're probably a little late for copper fungicide because they're turning red right now at this point. And usually when that happens, we have a problem with the fungus getting in there, especially when it rains in perpetuity like it has been. So anyway, so time to keep spraying on that. Yeah, people have fruit on their fruit trees right now, and you want that fruit to do as well as possible. So the neem oil, and that's very well to help control fungus and insects as well. So you might want to something on that too. Also, I think that the borders are going to be a bit of an issue this year, so we want to make sure to continue to use the spinach ad on the trunk sale to control borders on your fruit trees. Spinach ad is another safety to use on your plants. Don't use systemics at this time, as it can, the nicotinoids can get into your fruit, and it can be a bit of an issue with your central nervous system. So try not to apply systemic insecticide on your fruit trees at this point. Not a good idea.
When would it be a good idea? What time?
After harvest.
Okay.
You can go ahead and do a cleanup with some either a Dicestan or some any other stuff right now. Anyway, systemic insecticide after fruit harvest can be done. Typically, it's washed out of the plant by the time you the blooms come on in the spring. It's not much of a problem.
When is the harvest time anyway for fruit trees?
It varies.
Okay.
And the pears are real late, and the peaches are coming up. The cherries are just about ready right now at this point. The plums are probably 3 weeks away, so a bit of time yet. So it could still dry up and be normal weather before some of the other fruits are ready, but I know my cherries are, I'll probably be in trouble again this year, because I can't. Every year it rains, and I can't seem to get it.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing you can do about that, especially this week.
No, it is all my fault. Anyway, pecans, insect control, place your pecan nut case bearer pheromone traps in your orchard at this point, in mid-May, and that's when you first want to start doing that. So the weather's a little bit late this year, so you might want to do that. And you want to monitor your nuts for case bearer eggs. So check the Oklahoma case bearer model at the Ag Weather thing on the internet. You can. You can also go to the OSU's Extension Service and get all kinds of fact sheets on growing pecans too. I've downloaded some of these, looked at them, and learned a little bit. So continue with zinc sprays. Add zinc to insecticide or fungicide spray. Zinc does help pecan trees. And scab is going to be a problem this year, so you'll want to do your scab spraying. So and it tells you how to do that on it. And irrigate, don't worry about it now. Training, continue to prune your young trees so they have a strong central leader on them. And let it on the pecan trees. So there's a lot going on really right now with pecans. And I think we might have a problem this year with some disease. So you might try some zinc application.
What kind of diseases would be affecting the pecan trees?
This is scab.
This is scab, okay.
Yeah. The vegetable garden, keep the soil loosened in light of the rain. Time to plant warm season seeds. I know my birdhouse gourds are up. I looked at them this morning. The seeds have popped up and they're getting ready to grow real good. It's been kind of cool. They've been in the ground, golly, for 3 weeks. And they're just now coming up.
Yeah, that's weird.
So it does take a while when it's cooler like that for the germination to happen. They're coming up. The tomatoes, I don't know how the tomatoes are going to do this year. I think with the lack of warm air. And lack of circulation and so on, I think we might have some troubles with the tomatoes this year. So anyway, hopefully this will come on through. We'll have some more normal weather where it rains, you know, once a week and dries up a little bit in between there. So anyway.
Is there anything people should do with their tomatoes while we wait for it to get warmer?
Actually, you want to pick the lower leaves on them as they grow. Just pull them off. And some of the growers even pull all of them off, with the exception of the very tip of the ones. And what that does is when the rain does hit the ground, it splashes up bacteria from the soil, and the disease enters the plant at that point. So you want to just keep the lower leaves picked off the tomatoes at this point in time.
Now, you were kind of mentioning earlier about strawberries. What should people be doing about the strawberries right now? I know you said you had them on sale, but what should you be doing in the garden with strawberries?
Well, a good mulch is good for them, too. Try to keep the vines up off the ground. But anyway, try to keep the strawberries off the ground, too. And straw works very well for that. Weed mat works pretty well, too. And I know in California, they grow it on plastic. They grow everything's in plastic in California. I don't know, but anyway.
Straws.
Yeah, so try to keep the fruit from contacting the ground, because in the rain we've been having, you're going to get some fungus problems. also actually straw works rather well. Keep the plant elevated. Plant them in mounds when you do plant them.
Okay.
This is not exactly strawberry country, but we can have some.
Yeah, who says Oklahoma can't have strawberries, right?
Yeah, you can have some, but not very many.
I mean, I know, like, Georgia's home with, like, the peach, like you were mentioning earlier, like, last week, but we got peaches here, too, you know?
Yeah, I know. Actually, the peaches are very good here. The flavor is very strong here.
Okay, you got a Bible.
That's what I like about the whoa.
Yeah, that was loud, wasn't it?
That's what I like about the flavor of the Oklahoma peaches. It's a very good flavor in the peaches here. So,
what leads to that? What makes the peaches here in Oklahoma taste better?
Well, typically, not having excessive moisture is good for the flavor of things like that.
No, but
this year they're gonna taste like baby food.
Gerber. Gerber's making it.
Oh gosh. Anyway, so that's kind of the deal with that. So in the lawn this week, it's time to keep that Bermuda grass fertilized and zoysia. I've managed to elude the crabgrass invasion this year with the proper application of pre-emergent. In light of the rain we've had, I would recommend a second application of crabgrass control at this point because it's kind of washed through and it's gone and it's expired at this point. It only lasts a little while, 3 months. So it's time to reapply crabgrass control. It'll start to come up here pretty soon. We've had so much rain that the effectiveness of the crabgrass control has diminished at some point. And there are some survivor seeds out there.
So that does sound pretty creepy. What's the holiday happen?
So that's on my schedule for tomorrow also is to apply. I use Surfland in my yard. It was very effective in controlling that. So anyway, that's going to happen this weekend also. So reapplication of crabgrass control, I think, is something that we should consider doing. And just keep the fertilizer going. Before all this rain hit, I put down some 3700 fertilizer with some supplemental iron. And now this is extremely dark green color at this point. So it's really doing quite well. So your next fertilizer application, if you've been doing it on a monthly basis, you should have done your May application already. June will come up here, another 3 weeks or so for that application.
Coming pretty quick, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Larry, I think we'll go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of the Green Country Gardener. If you have any questions you'd like to ask Larry Glass about gardening, maybe about a fruit tree, or what's happening in the lawn this week, feel free to call us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, those numbers are 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll mention those numbers once again when we come back from the break.
That's funny. Peaches taste like a baby. This my brother said, I told him 96 degrees here today, typical summertime, Bermuda high pressure dome. Since some of that rain here, I don't have enough Cherokee blood to do a possible rain dance. Our family, we've got we'll park Cherokee, our whole family is. And I said, tornadoes, floods, trench foot, crutch rot, earthquakes, ready to move.
You're ready to move.
He said, this has been great, lots of work. And he says, none of that here, all the rain we've had drains away like water on a duck's back. Thin topsoil with red brick clay.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
And then I checked the forecast in Atlanta's. 96, 96, 96, 96, every single day. 96, 96, 100 degrees almost.
That's
the humidity they have down there, you know, it's just absolutely miserable.
Probably feels like 102, 103
and,
maybe.
Know, typically they have mosquitoes the size of 747s over there on each day.
747s. Oh my gosh, I can only imagine that mosquito.
Oh no, I lived there for 8 years.
Right. Oh my gosh. Do you miss Georgia at all?
I miss the beauty of it, the tall trees and all that.
Yeah.
But I don't know, you just bloom where you're planted. That's basically what I say.
Bloom where you're planted. Yeah, that's awesome. What brought you to Oklahoma anyway? Just family? Or?
Family, yeah. My dad was living here. I'm going to graduate in college.
Okay.
And then, I'm going to take a little time off. Well, that lasted about a week. And I got a job over there at Greentown.
Nice.
I can't sit. That was back in 79.
Back in the dizzy. And we're back with the Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Joining me, Gary Childs, is Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb. If you have any questions for Larry Glass about gardening, feel free to call us at 918-336-1400. Again, that's 918-336-1400. You can also call us at 1-800-749-5936. Again, the number is 1-800-749-5936. Now, Larry, before we took a break, we were talking a little bit about what's happening in the lawn this week.
Right.
What else should people be knowing about?
Well, we talked happening? About the crabgrass, pre-emergent control. If you miss that, it's still we still have time to do a post-emergent control of the crabgrass. And I was at somebody's house, and their yard was characteristically yellow here and there. And typically, these post-emergent crabgrass control causes a discoloration or a lack of vigor in the existing grass, but it'll come back. But in the process of doing so, it selectively removes the crabgrass that's in there. Now, as the crabgrass gets old, it gets crabbier and more difficult to control. So you want to control it as soon as you can. And it, as time goes on, it gets more and more difficult to control. There are, however, some controls that do achieve control later on in the crabgrass life stage. Quinoriac, Quinclorac are the one, and it does a pretty good job of controlling that over time as it goes. And the warmer it gets, the more damage you're going to do to your Bermuda grass, but it does come back as being a perennial grass.
Is there any way to prevent, damage while you're working on the lawn like this, or no?
What do you mean? On your post-emergent spray?
Yes.
A good level of fertilization does a very good job to hasten the recovery process of post-emergent crabgrass controls. So make sure your yard is well fertilized. And people say, well, I'm fertilizing my crabgrass, too. I say, yeah, it makes it all happy. It makes it more susceptible. If it gets all tough and difficult to control, it's more difficult to control. It gets really tough. So you want it to be just happy.
Right.
Catch it off guard. So keep up the fertilization on that, and then you can control the crabgrass too. But after a while, it's going to get more difficult to control.
Kevin's joining us now.
King of crabgrass. How you doing, guy?
Good.
Good to
you
see
doing?
You getting around here.
Yeah. Hey, I was hearing you talking about the boars.
Borders, yes.
I know the water, they love that, don't they?
They like it because the things are just growing gangbusters right now. There's going to be big rings on the trees this year.
Big rings?
Uh-huh. Wide rings, yes.
So, if your trees are pretty healthy, though,
right,
you won't have a problem.
Exactly, you won't.
But fruit trees are most susceptible, I would assume.
They have a more constant, remember the prunus family primarily, and they have a lot of sugar in their trunks. That's why the boars love them.
So, what would you do if you didn't use the, the Bayer?
The spinosad works very well as a topical application.
And when would you put that on?
Anytime.
Do it now?
Yeah. The boars are more prevalent in spring and fall. And
just spray the trunk.
Technically, we're still in spring right now because it's been kind of chilly. It hasn't really gotten hot yet. So it's a very safe one. Spinosad is a very safe and safe site to use.
So you spray the trunk.
Right, spray the trunk. Drench it real well.
Drench it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it rains every day, so.
Well, yeah, then it drenches it again. So. But anyway, it's
we need it. So how long does it need to be on there? Before it gets washed off?
I would give it a few days at least and stay on there.
Yeah.
We haven't had that really. Today might be a good day to do it.
Okay. next question.
I just dig them out with my pocket knife.
I know you do. I've never been able to find one in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, neither sharp.
But I got more trees than
sharper
you.
Sharper pocket knife.
I have more trees than
that's
you.
That's true, yeah.
So it would take me months to go dig them all out.
What's that guy doing on his hands and knees? On his tree? What's he doing over there?
What's he doing to that tree?
I do my best work on my knees, actually.
The emerald, those tall, what do you call them?
Emerald arborvitaes.
Correcto.
Huh?
At some point, these bagworms kind of get them.
Right.
Last year, I put the Bayer on it, but I didn't do that this year. But also, on like June 15th, let's say, somewhere right in there,
right,
you spray it with something. What is that we spray it with?
BT.
BT.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll keep them off.
Because
that's when they're...
They're gnawing on the stuff, yeah. Then they eat that
kill
stuff.
Right,
and it paralyzes it. In fact, BT is a bactericide.
It paralyzes them?
Paralyzes their digestive tract, yes.
Ooh, that would not feel comfortable, would it?
So, the metabolic
you paralyzed
rate,
your digestive tract.
Ooh. That would be rough.
That'd be rough.
That'd
be a rough day.
It's been a long winter. I could use a little digestive paralysis myself, actually.
My digestive tract getting paralyzed would not be a good thing.
No, it would not. But that's basically how the mechanics behind the Bacillus thuringiensis. It is a
so what's the best time to spray that with BT?
Well, as you see emergence or before.
Give me a date, Larry. Give me a date.
I can't give you a date. It's all relative, depending on the weather. Now would be a good time, actually.
It'd be a good time.
Now, yes.
Now.
Put the BT on your members of your...
And then do it another week or so.
Right. Yeah,
just keep doing it.
After it rains, yeah.
They actually are looking really nice.
Yeah.
Dark green, getting tall now, finally. So I don't want to take chances.
No. You can monitor them very closely, and if you start to see some of them on there...
Because those bagworms, they'll just strip them.
Well, yeah, you ran into that problem, last year? Or the year before, I think it was. You turned around the next minute.
I mean, it's just like you turn around twice and they've just...
They're gone. Yeah,
gone.
They just heat it up. So, they're very aggressive.
They're aggressive.
And
I want their digestive tract paralyzed. I want to paralyze them.
So, anyway, BT is the effective one for that.
BT.
Be very careful to use that around your plants that attract butterflies. But it'll also stop the...
I don't care about that.
Whoa.
It's okay.
Paralyze them.
What happened? The butterflies turn into boars.
Not all of them.
Well, that's... I know the butterflies look nice,
but... If you do have some plant... Do we have a call?
We do.
All right. Just hold on.
All right, Larry. Let's get the call.
Good morning. You're on the Green Country Gardener. How can we help you?
Good morning. Sounds like it's Dicistan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. It can have Dicistan can have a bad effect on bees. So you have to try to time it to where it's not coincident with your plants being a bloom. Yeah, at this point they should be. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, the spinosad would be safe to use. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's very difficult to hear you. You're fading away. There we go. Now I can hear you now. Yeah, you need to. You need to turn your phone the other way. Yeah. Okay, that is good now. Your clover? Yeah, that's a key word I didn't hear. The occurrence of blooms on clover is typically seasonal. So I kind of think we're still a bit in the season for it to bloom. It's sort of the end of it. You might get another occurrence if you were to mow it down, but I don't know. I would say in light of the weather we've had, you'll probably get another emergence of flowers on it. Don't cut it down too low. Right. Yeah. It's all dependent on the weather and a minor pruning, minor mowing on it shouldn't really adversely affect it too much. But spurring on some flowers like that is a tough call. You don't really want to put any nitrogen on it per se. They fix their own nitrogen, so they really don't need to fertilize it. So I would just kind of leave that as it is. And look at the health of the plant. If the leaves are big and healthy and there's no real problems with stem and rot or anything on it, I would say, yeah, just a minor mowing should be okay on it. You might do an experiment with that and perhaps mow half of it and see what plays out. Okay, thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm. What was that chemical you talked about, Larry?
What?
You just mentioned to her.
Dicistone.
No.
Spinosad?
Yeah, spinosad. When you use that on those emerald armavita.
Yeah, you can use it on that too.
I think that's what I use.
Yeah,
also, have you noticed the ants everywhere this year?
Oh, golly. We have been fighting ants.
Ants!
I completely dismantled my dishwasher at home. Took it out of the wall, took it apart, put it all back together. Couldn't find the ants in it anywhere. We got a caller.
We do have another caller, okay. Yes.
It's just terrible.
Terrible.
Good morning, caller. You're on the Great Country Gardener. How can we help you on this Saturday?
Right. Bee balm. We do have some at the nursery. Bee balm. You might pop by the nursery. Gary will be the one to ask on that. Catmint is something that we do carry. We've got that and all kinds of other plants that attract the bees and things too. So. Hours, we open at 9 and we're open till 5:30 today, and tomorrow 12 to 5, and then Memorial Day 9 to 1, or no, yeah, something like that, but 9 to 3, I think, yes. All right, thank you for calling. Yeah, we sold catmint for years, actually, so pretty good plant. It does attract the butterflies.
And if you have any other questions for Larry Glass on the Saturday at Green Country Gardener? We still have about 13 minutes left. You can call us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, that's 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll be right back. We do have another caller, but figure we take a break and then get him on the way after this.
I spend my time running all over town. Fixing the bobcats, and then the cooling system decided it's going to mess up.
Of course.
Greenhouse, and it got stuck. The pump ran and ran and ran and ran.
That doesn't sound good.
And when it runs and runs and runs and runs, it overflows with water, and the water runs, flows and flows and flows, and there's everything runs downhill, you know?
Right.
It was a stuck relay. I think I got a clock motor going out too.
Man, you're having all kinds of technical difficulties.
I know. You try to analyze all this stuff. The way they did the electronics over there at our wholesale greenhouse is just, instead of having everything right here on the panel, they got relays all over the place. And it is very, very difficult to diagnose a problem because you don't know if it's the breaker, the relay, there's another set of relays on the timer.
How do you diagnose it properly? You just have somebody come out there or what?
With an ohmmeter.
Ohmmeter?
Oh, there's the problem right there. Touch on it.
I don't know how you want to do this.
But
we still have one more break.
Okay.
After this, so you just want to take the call, then take a break, then talk about the nursery and whatnot?
Yeah. How long is the break?
2 minutes.
After this one, this one now?
Yeah.
That'll give us 8 minutes to do something. That's a lot of talking in 8 minutes.
Yeah.
We were done pretty much with the lawn. We talked about crepe myrtles.
Okay.
And roses.
Roses, yeah. Roses and crepe myrtles.
Yeah, Julia is resting right now. Well, she really blew her little spatula off, let me tell you.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener on this Saturday. I'm Gary Giles. Joining me is Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb. If you have any questions you'd like to ask Larry, give us a call at 918-336-1400. Again, that's 918-336-1400. Or you can call us at the toll-free number 1-800-749-5936. Again, that's 1-800-749-5936. And Larry, we do have a caller. Won't keep them anymore. We'll go ahead and get them on the line right now. Good morning, caller. How can we help you on the Green Country Gardener?
Yes. Yeah, the seven dust is one thing that can happen.
Huh?
It does a pretty good job of controlling a broad variety of insects that attack your tomatoes. That's one way to do it, yeah, and it comes in a concentrate as well, so yeah. Alrighty, thank you for calling. Yeah, there could be little critters gnawing on your tomato plants that trying to get their share of the breakfast table there. Anyway, crepe myrtles.
We do have another call there.
Another call? Okay, cool.
Good morning, caller. You're on the Green Country Gardener. How can we help you?
There are several pre-emergents, and the one I've had pretty good luck with is Surfland. It works rather well. And it's the generic name. It goes in several different brands, but you need to look at the label real close. Typically, Surfland has an orange color to it, and it's a suspended powder, and it works pretty well. The preen also works rather well as a preen version. It's a treflan.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. It's a trifluorine or treflan. It works rather well also to help control weeds in your vegetable, or not in your vegetables, in your flower bed, shrubs and things. In your lawn or? No, it wouldn't really. No. Yeah, post-emergent, there's a lot of them out there. So just kind of pick one that fits your mode of application better. And keep in mind the current weather situation. And I was looking at the forecast, and it is going to be, the rain is going to persist into this next week, too. So you might consider a spray application whenever we get a break in the weather. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
Right. So I would do that. I've got a real bad problem with oxalis in my yard. has all these little yellow flowers on it, these little clover plants all over the place. It's a mess. I don't have anything else, just oxalis. So. Yeah. Now, Keith. I've experienced that in my yard too, and actually it's rotting in my yard, so I think it'll just die out, really. A combination of the, it's probably susceptible to the rot fungus, more so than the wintergrass, so I think it's just going to die out, I think. All right, thanks for calling. Okay, cool. Crepe myrtles. They're up and growing really right now. Winter damage repair is evident at this point in time that crepe myrtles should be doing. Differentiation is going to begin soon on crepe myrtles. That word's about half a page long. Anyway, differentiation is what happens when the daytime gets longer. And it's a stimulus for the plant to go ahead and stop making leaves and start making flowers. So the differentiation is occurring real soon. If you look at the tips of your crepe myrtles, you'll notice that they're turning their characteristic red and kind of shiny, and that indicates that it's getting ready to bloom. So if you haven't pruned your crepe myrtles, or if you want to prune your crepe myrtles, you're just about out of time. So.
When is the deadline?
typically the 1st of June is the deadline.
Okay, so you got about a week left.
Yeah,
then.
You have some time, yeah. You still do it. You still branch out and differentiate it too. But when that happens, typically they don't put on very many more leaves or growth at this point. They begin to bloom. So get after it pretty quick if you do want to prune back your crepe myrtles. I've got a big tall in front of my house, and I was so worried it wouldn't make it through the winter, but it survived in flying colors, actually. So
it's, yes.
it's a big red rocket, and I can't wait for it to bloom. It's the one that I was growing on the north side, and I transplanted it in June here. And I thought I'd lost it. It turned out the sprinkler system wasn't working very well on it. after I got it to where it was watering, it did fine. But anyway, so crepe myrtles, fertilize them. Perhaps you can enhance the color with some extra phosphorus around the crepe myrtles. That'll give you some more color. Avoid nitrogen applications at this point. They get kind of wiry and floppy. Especially when we have rain after they begin to bloom. If you don't have strength in the stems, they're going to, this happened last year, they just kind of droop from so much weight of the bloom. So try to avoid nitrogen applications at this point, and maybe some phosphorus applications on your crepe myrtles. Okay.
Okay, and what about roses? We still got a little bit of time.
Roses, we had a really good burst of blooms this year. Julie put on a really good show, but she's beginning to rest at this point. But the roses generally is ruled are really blooming quite nicely right now. The drift roses are really showing just lots of color. Drift roses are about a knee-high kind of rose, and it's a shrub-type rose. And it's very low care, very easy to grow plant. And they're putting on a really big show right now.
Sounds good. Larry, we'll go take a quick break. We'll talk about the nursery when we come back.
Very good.
Yeah, we're going to have about a minute or so to kind of talk about the nursery.
I was getting some gravel down at Enterprise yesterday.
Yeah.
And we wanted big gravel and little gravel. So I want one on the port side, one on the starboard side of the truck. Line roll is in the Navy. I said, okay, were you in the Army? No, I didn't hear. Well, you, Marines? No. And I said, well, you a Democrat? He just laughed. He just fell apart so funny.
Navy Democrat. Oh, my gosh.
You don't know port from starboard. You got to be a Democrat. You don't know left from your right.
You have to be a Democrat if you don't know your left from your right. Sounds about right. Oh, man. Dave, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How about you all?
Doing good.
Must be taking a break.
Yeah, we're going to have to come back. We only have like a minute left. So, gonna rehash what's happening at the nursery.
No more rain, man.
Look at the side. You guys, Charlie left.
They left the rain gauge. They left the rain switch turned on. We're gonna have to bring you back to turn the rain switch on.
I told Kevin, I was like, I don't know if it's the rain or just the tears of the people that missed Charlie.
Well, we got 1.3 inches last night.
So it does need to stop.
In addition to the 15 or 20 we had before that.
Yeah. And welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Show. Only have about a minute left in the program. Larry Glass has been joining us all morning. Larry, what's happening at the nursery? What should people know?
Hey, at the nursery, we've got all kinds of color right now at this point. The mandevillas are really exhibiting good color. Mandevilla is a vining plant that you put on your trellis. It's an annual plant, though. Not hardy here. But it does give you good color, and we've already got some that are big. The memorial containers are really very showy this year. They look really quite nice. They did a good job putting those together. We have color pots showing some color. We got some vegetable plants, herbs. So just about anything you might want to get. And the Japanese maples are really showing a good leaf color this year too. So come on out and just check it out.
Where can people find you?
No Water Road, south side of the road, halfway between Washington and Madison Avenue, and keep your shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
That was perfect.